I warned you last week that I was going to do Why Part 2. And if you remember back a few weeks ago, we spent a lot of time in Matthew chapter 4 and the temptation of Jesus. And we said at the time, obviously Satan's goal was to see if Jesus would do something that was out of God's will. In other words, being out of God's will is that he would sin. That was obvious. But at the time, there was another motive that we saw, and it was to see if there was any daylight between Jesus and his faith and the Word of God. And we spent 2 or 3 weeks on that. So the question was, did he find any daylight between Jesus and his faith and the Word of God? And we know that absolutely that the answer is no, he did not find any daylight. Every time that Jesus was challenged, he responded back with the Word of God. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, we're not going to be there long because I know we've already spent a lot of time on it in the past, but it's worth going back to over and over and over again. And we know that Jesus was tempted. We see in verse 1, when Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And then we jump down to verse 3, and this is what the adversary or the tempter said. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, this is what Jesus answered back to him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We see in verse 5, he says, "Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" So don't ever question it in your mind, and don't ever think in your mind that the adversary does not know the Word of God, because he knows the Word of God frontwards and backwards. But we see what when the adversary uses the Word of God, he twists it. And when he twisted the truth to Jesus. But look what Jesus said back. He said in verse 7, he says, Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Then we go to verse 8. "Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and you will worship me.'" And Jesus says in verse 10, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him." Now we see that in other parts of the gospel, it will say he left him for a season. He left him for a season. Do you think that this, in your mind, that this was the only time that Jesus was ever tempted? And the answer is absolutely no. Satan tried to tempt Jesus over and over and over and over, but he did what? He knew no sin. So when we are tempted of the devil, we don't think he's going to go away and he's not going to come back again. He's going to find another avenue in which he can attack us from. We see that Jesus defeated the adversary by the Word of God. You defeat the adversary by the Word of God. It's the only offensive weapon we have is the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. Amen? At Crossroads Gospel, we say we believe the Word and we stand on the Word. And when we say that, what are we saying? There is no daylight. This is what we're saying. Because the adversary could not find any daylight in Jesus' faith between him and the Word of God. We are saying there is no daylight between our faith and the Word of God because we believe the Word and we stand on the Word. We believe that God is who he says he is and that God will do what he says he will do. Amen? Let me tell you, Satan is the master of the daylight checkers. He can find daylight in your life like no one else. And I really don't have to tell you because you already know it and you've experienced it. Showing daylight between our faith and the Word of God affects our walk. It affects our praise. It affects our worship. And it affects most certainly our prayer life. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we're going to do a little daylight checking today. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Verse you're very, very familiar with. And this is what it says. In verse 28, it says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." We state it, but do we believe it? Do we believe it? All things, God's got it. God's got my back. God's going to take care of it. I put my trust in Him, and I stand alone on the Word of God, and His Word of God is true. God cannot lie. It's a possibility. It is impossible for Him to lie. All things, everything, God will use it for our benefit. And we know it's not good things, don't we? We know that He'll use ugly things for our benefit. Do we believe it, or when bad things happen, do we say, "Why, Lord, why?" Let's clarify. A question, why, can be to gain clarification. Lord, why is this taking place? What am I supposed to learn from this? But why can be a question of a statement of unbelief. Why, Lord? Revealing daylight between our faith and the Word of God. Why? Can you stop your growth, and it can hinder your faith because it makes you back up. And I've been there. I've been in the trenches with you. You've known my testimony. You know my word. You know when I had my bypass surgery and I had my heart attack and I had to have bypass surgery, and I just was in the moly grubs, and it was just like a spiritual crybaby. Why, Lord? Why? I'm in the ministry. I'm doing what you're supposed to, what I'm supposed to be doing. Why am I going through this? Pastor Carol says, basically, that may be her now. Come on down off the cross because somebody needs the wood. Do you believe God's word or not? Do you believe that He is going to use this? And I can tell you the things that I have went through physically have been the deepest time of growth in my life. Let me tell you, I've had five bypasses because I had a major heart attack. And my heart's never been stronger. I had a kidney removed because I had cancer. Every one of those things, God had my back on every one of them, and He was leading me to the point of what we are doing now. He was maturing me, growing me, growing me in my faith, growing me in my relationship. And let me tell you, in the Word of God, nothing is going to stop us now, because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen? Amen. Let's look at a couple of examples today. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. And maybe in some of these you can be able to relate in your own life and what you have gone through yourself. In Matthew chapter 16, we're going to look at the life of Peter. In Matthew chapter 16, if you go to verse 13, he says this. We're going to read verse 13 through 19. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a witness. In verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now let's read verse 16 again. And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Son of Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's not because Pastor Leo revealed it to you. It's because the Spirit of the living God revealed it to you. We can't come unto the Father unless we be drawn. Now let's go to verse 21. We've seen a wonderful, tremendous testimony and profession of faith. Now look at verse 21. From that time Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this is not going to happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." Wow, we just read a wonderful, amazing testimony, profession of faith that Peter shared. And then all of a sudden, Jesus turned around and he said, "Man, get behind me, Satan, because you're mindful of the things of man rather than being mindful of the things of God." For Peter to be the man God needed him to be, he was going to have to change. What do we see between 16, verse 16, and verse 23? We see daylight. Daylight between Peter's faith and the Word of God. Who else saw daylight? Let me tell you, the adversary saw daylight. God would use the sifting that was coming in Peter's life to mature and grow Peter to be the man of God that God needed him to be. Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 26, Matthew 26, verse 31. In Matthew 26, verse 31, it says this. Matthew 26, verse 31. It says, "Then Jesus said to him, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will scatter. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.'" Boy, look at what Peter instantly stuck his foot right in his mouth, didn't he? "Peter answered and said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' So said all the disciples." Then go to verse 69, same chapter. In verse 69, it says, "Now Peter sat outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you're saying.' And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to him, to those who were there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know that man.'" Can you feel the pain in that? Have you ever seen the Passion of Christ? And I know it's not real, as the Scripture is. But when Peter denied him the third time and that rooster crowed, Peter looked across the way. Jesus was looking at him. That's why it says here in the Scripture, when we get there, that Peter went out and wept bitterly, thinking, "My God, what did I do? I just denied the most important thing in my life." In verse 73, he says, "And a little later, when those who stood by came and said to Peter, 'Surely you're one of them, for your speech betrays you.'" They knew he was a Galilean. "And then he began to curse and swear, 'I do not know that man.' And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So he went out and he wept bitterly." We see daylight between Peter's faith and the Word of God. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 22. I know it's a lot of Scripture, but man, it's powerful. Luke 22, verse 31. And look at what Jesus says to Peter. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned, to me strengthen the brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And then he said, I will tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. But when you look at verse 31, Jesus was warning Peter what he was going to experience. That there was going to be a sifting. And that was going to get rid of all the dross and all the chaff and everything out of his life, so what was left would be the pure faith that he had, because in Peter's life there was daylight between his faith and the Word of God. And he says, I will be praying for you, and not only that, because he is a great intercessor, he is our high priest. Today, when we are going through things, we must know we are never going through them alone, that he is right there with us going through those things, and he is praying for us, he's interceding for us. He says, you will strengthen the brethren. Saints, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Do you believe that to be true? Then nothing happens by accident by an all-knowing, everywhere present God that we serve today. God would allow this test in Peter's life to grow and mature him for the ministry that was ahead. You've seen in that scripture that the adversary... Look at verse 31 again. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you. He's asked for you. That he may sift you as wheat. What is it is going through or you have gone through in your life that God is using to mature you and to grow you in your faith? It worked in Peter's life. Is it working in your life? Or do sometimes we just get in that why syndrome and we end up walking back on our faith? We're not as close to God because we keep saying, why? Well, why not you? Why not you? We said last week we understand all the suffering that Jesus went through because there was a plan and a purpose. Jesus was going to give his life on Calvary, so we should just be happy about that. Well, we are happy about that. But put yourself in the shoes of Jesus and having to go to the cross. Or would we be just trying, why? Not knowing that God was going to use it ultimately for his will and your purpose in your life. So whatever you have gone through, there is a purpose and a plan in that. You may not understand it at the time and you may not understand it today. But do you believe the Word of God or not? If God says he has a plan and a purpose for me and he's working on my behalf and all things work together for good, then I believe it. I believe it. Peter would strengthen his brethren with his faith. We won't turn there, but I had it written down in Acts chapter 2, verse 32 through 41, that his faith and his sermon that he shared after the day of Pentecost and how thousands would come to know Jesus. Saints, we must never allow life experiences to sour our faith. We either get better or we get bitter. And which do you choose? We can either have lemons or we can make lemonade. We won't go there, but I'll talk about it in closing, so I won't keep you all day. The second illustration that I was going to spend some time looking at today was Job. And we know that Job, the adversary, asked for Job. And Job's main question through this whole thing, you know, and when we have people that ask the question why, and I told you last Sunday, I said, I may not know the reason why. I may not know the reason why. But I don't need to know why, and neither do you. You just know that God's got your back no matter what you're going through. But Job's main question was why? Why do the righteous suffer? In other words, why am I going through this? And God answered him in verses 38, or chapters 38 through 42. He asked him 66 questions. You'll have to go home and read it. Some of the questions are split, so there's people that say that he asked Job 77 questions. The main one being this, in Job 38 and verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And you question me. In closing, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 years the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. Moses fasted for 40 days on Mount Sinai before he wrote the Ten Commandments. Jesus was 40 days in the desert. The spies searched out the promised land for 40 days. And Goliath taunted the Israelites for 40 days. So saints, I'm going to tell you this. This is my forever stance. I serve an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present God, and He knows right where I'm at. He knows He has a plan and He has a purpose for my life, and that no matter what I go through, day 41 is on the way. Day 41 is on the way. We must all. I can't stand for you, and you can't stand for me. You got to stand for yourself and your relationship that you will have with the Lord. We must be careful, because we must be careful when we share with our friends. You know, Job had friends. And you know what Job ended up saying? Because they kept saying, well, you must have done something really bad for God to do this to you. Because that was the feeling of the day. If you did something bad, then God did something bad against you or to you. So that was the thought of the day. They kept telling him, well, you must have done really something bad. You need to repent. Not realizing what Job did was something right. And something can happen in your life. And maybe it's because something right you've been doing in your relationship with the Lord. You know what Job told his friends? He says, you are the most miserable friends. We need to be good friends to one another. And even though I may not know the reason why, what you're going through and why you're going through it, I know that God's got this. And I need to be in prayer for you. Because sometimes when we're trying to comfort one another, sometimes we can say things that are not very comforting. Remember Job's wife? She says, why don't you just curse God and die? And I think that maybe some of you have felt that way in your life. Why was I ever born? I should not even have been born. Look at what I'm going through. Nope. You're God's masterpiece. You're His creation. And of all creation, you are the masterpiece. That's what I've been telling the kids in school. You are His masterpiece. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. Such a time as this, were you born and put on this earth. Don't ever get discouraged because of things that you're going through. I can say that's easier said than done, right? But still believe in your discouragement that God has got this and He's going to work it out for your best. And I praise Him for that. Let's pray today. Father, we just come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank You for the Word, Father. And we pray that in our life, today, the days to come, the years to come, that Father, the adversary will never find any daylight between us and our faith in the Word of God. Be with us as we go our separate ways, and may Your hand be upon each and every one of our lives. And we ask this all today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great day.